What I handed out is mostly just an article which I found online, which I thought would be of interest. I'm not actually going to talk about that at all, but over the course of my talk, if you want to space that into something else, you could feel free to look at that article. And on the back of it, there are a few sources which we'll look at, two sources which we will look at some point. Just as a broad introduction, this will be a seven-part series on mourning, as Rabbi Brody mentioned. The goal is that it's really supposed to be for those who are mourning. It is open to everybody, but it's to try to explain the mourning experience. We'll deal with today. We'll deal with what happens to the body after death. The next time, I want to get into the soul after death. We'll get into over time. We'll get into issues of Kaddish, the purpose of saying Kaddish, the ideas behind Kaddish, and then the actual mourning experience. What we're supposed to, what does the Torah, what does Judaism say about that mourning experience? Often, this is not discussed very often publicly. A lot of these issues are not discussed publicly, and there is a reason behind that. Each person, when they encounter death, the death of a close relative, of a close friend, so each person reacts differently. So on the one hand, it's really not appropriate to have a public setting where this is discussed. On the other hand, a lot of people just don't know what the Torah, what Judaism has to say about these issues. So there is room for people to be knowledgeable on a lot of these issues. And the best way to do that is in a public setting, even though each person is going to react to it differently. So we are going to have a public discussion about this, but it, definitely a private one-on-one discussion is a lot more useful and helpful for each person. But we're going to start off having a public discussion about this. I want to start off with a story that I heard. It was, I heard this indirectly. This happened to a person named Rabbi Elimelech Goldberg. Did anybody hear of Rabbi Elimelech Goldberg? He was a CNN hero. He started... Kids Kicking Cancer, exactly. He started an organization called Kids Kicking Cancer. He's from Southfield, Michigan. I know him from Southfield, Michigan. And his organization is basically dealing with kids who have cancer and are struggling through the illness slash death. A lot of these kids are not going to live for a long time. And he teaches them through karate how to really use their mind to defeat and to be above their illness and to deal with illness and also to deal with death, to understand what death is about and have an understanding of what I'm going through, what that person is going through. So he tells over a story where he's dealing with one girl. The girl's name is Tali, and she just found out that the last drug therapy that she went through, this was going to be their last chance to deal with her tumor that she had. They found out that it was not going to be successful. So she knew that she did not have a long time to live. And so they were outside, and it was a cloudy day, and he was talking to her. And he told her that, look at the clouds. You have the clouds here. It's a very dark day. And above the clouds, so there's the sun. There's the sun which is above the clouds. And so you have to realize that it's dark right now, and it's a very dark day. But there is that sun. That sun is the neshama, the soul, which is above the clouds, and that's going to last forever. What's in this world is not going to last forever, but that sun will last forever. And so even though we're trying to teach you how to overcome, realize that you're going to die and try to understand that, so you also have to realize that there's life after death. The soul is going to continue to live beyond that. And so she asked him, Does the soul get cancer? Could the soul also get cancer? And so he said that shocked him for a second. He never really got that question. And so he told her that no, that the soul can't get cancer. The soul lives forever. And so I wanted to bring this out for two reasons. One is to show how what we're trying to do is also to deal with, obviously on a very, very different level, but to understand death, something which we have a hard time understanding and encountering. But try to attempt what this organization does, but also through these classes to try to really understand what death is about, how Judaism perceives death. And beyond that, I thought it was interesting that he discussed this. She asked the question from the perspective of the soul. So in particular for this class, everyone discusses the role of the soul after death. After death, the soul is going to continue to exist. And there's very little mention about, well, what about the body after death. Well, how do we perceive the body after death? And especially those who have experienced it, and also those who are involved in a tahara process, in the purification process, a lot of it does have to do with the actual body. We do have a lot of respect for the body after death. So I thought it was interesting that a lot of discussion is about the soul, and the soul does live forever. But what about the body? What happens exactly to the body? So the body is interesting. Historically, there's a big challenge to try to understand the differences between the body and the soul. There's really a conflict between the body and the soul. The body is something which is very physical. It deals with physicality. It itself is physical, and the soul is not something which is physical. And so historically, philosophers have been trying to deal with it. Plato and Aristotle and other philosophers have tried to deal with it. And according to almost all of them, it's hard to understand what the role of the body would be after death. Plato is of the understanding that the body and the soul are separate. He thinks that they're really two separate identities, and that the soul to the body is equivalent to us, he says, and an axe. That the axe is really something external. That's not who when I use an axe, so there's my body, there's me, and then the axe is something which is external. And so he says, so too with the soul. When you say who you are, who defines who you are, so he explains that that's the soul. And the body is just the way for your soul to interact with this world. So it's really like the form of an axe. But really, the way you define who you are is the soul. And there are others who explain that really the main part of this, the soul is really one and the same with the body. And really the main focus of this world is really purely the body. And you should really just enhance the body as much as possible in this world. And according to both explanations, there's really no value to the body after death. Because according to the first explanation, really the way you define yourself is your soul. That's who you are. You're defined by your soul, and your body is just merely a way to interact with the world. So there's no real value according to this explanation of the body. And definitely according to the second explanation. So according to the first explanation, once a person dies, then why do we have so much respect for the body? Why do we bury the body? Why do we go through a whole purification process for the body? It would seem strange on the one hand. On the other hand, for the other extreme is to say that all we care about in this world is the body. That we just, the purpose of this world is to value the body, to value physicality, and get pleasure from this world. And if that's the case, so then once a person dies, so then they can no longer get pleasure from this world. And so then there's also no value to the body. So according to both extremes historically, there would really be no value to the body after death. So why is it? You want to answer?
No, you. I want your answer. Why?
I will
why
over.
This, no, why this opinion? What he said? The body, it doesn't have a value.
Well, it only has a value, according to that first. At the first explanation, the body only has a value because
one is
that there's a body and there's a soul. Yes. But they don't. The soul, the body is just the hands for the soul. But the way you define who you are is the soul. The I in me is the soul. The body is just my instruments to interact with the world. But then the body, there's no respect to the body. The body is just purely an instrument. So then why should I care about the body after a person dies? After a person dies, so then the body can't be used. The soul,
it's obsolete.
Yeah, it's obsolete. The soul continues to exist outside of the body. But then why should we care about the body per se? Why do we go through the whole burial process? But the soul is no longer there, so why should we? You are getting on to one idea that I want to discuss. But according to both explanations, at first glance, you would think that there really is no need to respect the body after the body is no longer in use.
You said that's why we have cremation.
Exactly, that's based on my question. Why do we bury? So, don't leave. We're gonna come. We're gonna have answers. I wanted to address three different ideas. We'll try to give three different answers to this question, and it's possible that all these relate to the same idea in the end. But I think these are three different perspectives that one could take on the role of the body after death. If you look at the first source here that I have on the second page, in Koheles, we're taught, "V'yoshev ha'afar al ha'aretz kishahaya, v'ruach toshev al alokim asher nesana," that the dust returns to the ground as it was, and the life breath returns to God who bestowed it. The dust is referring to the body. The body returns back to where it originated from, and then the soul also goes back to the heavens. It goes back to where it came from. And this is further explained. What is this exactly? Does this mean? So, in the very beginning of the book of Bereishis, we're taught that how was man created? What was the creation of man? Through the dust of the ground, through the ground, and also God breathed into man a soul, a neshama. So man consists of both properties of the ground, dust from the ground, and also comes from a soul. And the idea here is that when a person dies, so then they go back to its original source. We come from the ground. That's where we originate from. And our soul, our bodies. And our soul comes from God and still put a soul into our bodies. So the idea that Koheles is mentioning, and we'll also quote from Medrash momentarily, is that we're supposed to, after we die, we go back to where we came from, to our original source. Just like we came from the ground, so then we go back to the ground, and our neshama, our soul, came from God, so then that soul then goes back to God, whatever that means, that we return back to God. There's a fascinating medrash that our rabbis taught us, essentially this idea. The rabbi said, "Bara gufo min ha'aretz v'nafsho min ha'shamayim." God created the body from the ground and the soul from the heavens. U'bishas misasa, when a person dies, chelek ha'aretz chozer la'aretz, the part of the ground, the part of the body that comes from the ground, returns back to the ground. And the part that belongs to the heavens goes back to the heavens. That's what our rabbis teach us. So what exactly is the idea here? What is the idea of returning back to where you came from? Any suggestions as to what exactly this means? What's the...
When someone passes away, so the body goes back to the
earth. Right, and the neshama goes back. Why do we have to return back to that original state? What's the deeper meaning behind returning back to the original state of where we came from?
Like we are here, like picadon.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. The idea is that the reason why we go through this is to really show that God gave us life. God gave us our bodies, and God gave us our soul. And so by returning it back to where it came from, so then we're showing that we didn't exist on our own, we existed through God. God gave us this opportunity to be in this world. And so by returning to that original source, we're essentially saying that thank you, God, for giving that to us, and now we're returning our bodies back to you, back to where we came from. Because we're not owners of our own bodies. We don't own our bodies, we don't own our souls. And so we're showing by burying somebody who just died, we're showing God that we understand that it's not our own. We don't own our own bodies, and we're going to put those bodies back to where it came from to show that it's not ours to use. And so that would be a very powerful distinction between cremation and burial. Burial is really showing how we're not in control. We don't decide things. We're not in control. That really God decides when we live, when we die. And by bringing our bodies back to where we come from, we're showing that we don't have ownership over our bodies, as opposed to cremation. So then that's really trying to show how you could dominate the body, that you're really in control of the body. And that's not really, we don't believe in that at all, that we're in control of our own bodies. So through burial, we're really showing how the body belongs to where it came from. You, God, you chose that this should belong, that we should come from the dust, from the ground, when you created us, and then we're going back, we go back to the ground. Yes?
I'm just wondering if you could argue that it's not inconsistent with the idea of cremation in the sense that it would be just expediting the decomposition, and then the idea of burying the ashes in the ground? Might that be consistent?
I hear that on the one hand, but on the other hand, it's humans are now doing something to the body. They're changing the form of the body. So they're disgracing the body. They're also taking ownership of the body by destroying the body. They're taking ownership of the body. I think by having the body whole and by placing it to the ground, you're showing how we're not in control of the body. It's not ours to be in control of. So I think it's a lot more powerful to let the body stay as is and bring it down to the ground. Yes. I don't know if Jews always did it, but I think some form of it existed, whether it was cremation or it was some other form of it. I don't know. I'm not sure historically when it started, Jews have not done it historically for a long time. They have not done this. Unfortunately, it's becoming a lot more common. Yeah.
Some indigenous people just leave the body out where, birds of prey or wild animals can get to it. How do you see that fitting into this?
Well, that's not bringing the body back to the ground.
So I
wouldn't think that would fit within this concept. I think definitely for the other issues that we're going to be discussing, it for sure would not fit within that.
Mm-hmm.
But even within this, you're not putting the body back into the ground to show how we're returning it to its original source.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a question?
Oh.
So that's one concept that's discussed in terms of why we bury, which I think in and of itself is a very powerful concept. But I think the next two that we'll be discussing, I find to be more powerful. Not that the first one's not. Every person, just whenever we have these discussions, so every person has a different tendency to lean towards different views. So each person relates to death differently. So a person could like one answer as opposed to other answers. And so the key is really just to appreciate the answer that you like. Understand that there are other answers, but for you to connect to that answer that really fits well with you is really the goal here. And so we'll present different explanations, and they're all true, but they resonate with people differently. The second explanation is given by the Maharal. The Maharal was one of our great rabbis from Prague. I think others also say this, but he says this very, very nicely. What's the purpose of hiding something, of placing something underground, of really concealing something? When do people conceal objects? When do they hide something?
Treasure.
Treasure is one.
To use it in the future.
To use it in the future is another one. Very good. We hide something. What is our classic case that people do every day? What do they hide every day? Besides, for unfortunately, people have passed away, which happens every day. But what else do we put into the ground?
Seeds.
We put seeds into the ground. Seeds to grow a tree.
Seeds
to grow a tree into the ground. So the Maharal says something very, very powerful. He says that the concept of burial is placing something in the ground, because when we hide something, we hide something which has potential. There's potential there, but it's not being actualized. And so it's something which is very, very precious. Extremely precious, but we can't use it right now. There's no opportunity to use that right now. We can't use it right now. It's fascinating. I don't think this is true in modern Hebrew, but in Tanaic Hebrew, in the Hebrew that's mentioned in the Mishnah, in the times of the Mishnah, the word kever, which is a grave, is also used, psichas hakever, is also used, the word kever, for the womb. Which is fascinating. The womb is the same word, kuf beis resh, is the same word for the grave as for the womb. The Maharal doesn't mention this, but I thought it was an interesting, very fascinating idea. What's the connection? You would think they're totally opposites. One is about going to see a fetus come into the world, start a new life, grow and develop, and then on the other hand we have kever, the word kever, being used as the grave, which is the end of a life, the death. no longer usable. And so that the idea is one and the same as what the Maharal was saying, which is that we have to understand that this is temporary for the body. We do believe in resurrection of the dead, tchiyas hameisim, and this is just temporary, and ultimately this body will come back. And so we're hiding this body. The purpose of burial is to hide this body into the ground. We have to hide it into the ground. He says that the main focus is not even that it should be covered with dust. He says the main focus is that it should be just within it should be underground. That's really our focus. Our focus is that it should be underground because we're supposed to hide that which is precious, we hide. And so we want to hide the body because it's so precious to us. But it only has potential now. It's not being actualized. That which is being actualized comes out. That which is actualized exists in the world. But that which only has potential, that which is precious and has potential, so then that's like seeds. And that's like, and also in the womb, the fetus in the womb is hidden, it's concealed, you can't see it. So when the purpose of that, why do we have a fetus? Why did God make it that it goes through a 9-month process where you can't see the baby, the fetus? The idea behind that is also because something which only has potential, which can't be actualized, so that has to be something which is hidden. You can't see that. That has to be something which is hidden within the womb. And so therefore the same exact language of kever is used for a grave and for the womb itself. Because they're both, on a deeper level, they're both accomplishing the same goal. They're both being hidden for an ultimate purpose, which is for the resurrection of the dead.
Isn't the purpose of Jewish burial that the body decomposes as quickly as possible?
The body is supposed to decompose, but it's through that body, through what's ever left over from that body, that God is going to resurrect the dead. From whatever is left over, God is going to create the shape of that body back from whatever was decomposed. That's what our tradition tells us. To the bones, yeah, to the bones. And it is important to note also that that a person who was cremated, whether it was against their will or not, they still have potential to be resurrected. It's not just somebody who's buried. God will create a new body for that person. There's a lot of people who died, like in the Holocaust, that they were cremated, and that was the greatest sanctification of God that a person could do, to die because they're a Jew. And they too, they will merit tchiyas hameisim, the resurrection of the dead, even though they were cremated. But God will give them a new body. God will.
A new body, which would be a duplication of the old.
Or? I don't know. We'll find out. I don't know. This is just to read this inside. This is the last source that's quoted here. Inside, this is the second source. Inyan hakfura, the idea behind burial, hatamana ledavar shiya ba'asiv, is to conceal something which is for the future. Ubnesha adam hu bekoach lioschai la'asiv, because a person, after they die, they have the potential to live in the future. That body is not a breathing, living body right now. The soul continues to exist, but that body is not a living and breathing body, but it has potential, and it will eventually come back to life. Ki hadavar nigla hu befoal, v'hadavar nitman hu bekoach. Something which is revealed, which exists in the world, so then that is something which could be actualized right now. That could be used right now. But that which is just that which we can't use right now, but something which has potential and is precious, so that is something which we hide underground. And that's the second idea, I think, behind why we bury. It's good? Okay. I wanted to get to the third reason behind why we bury. And also this I find to be an explanation also for the second reason that we gave about the fact that we resurrect the dead. A question that I had that I had as I was going through this is, why do we need the same body when we come back to this world? That same exact body. The idea behind burial is to keep the bones so that God could then recreate the body by the time of the resurrection of the dead. Why do we need that same exact body? Why? What's the, if really the definition for who we are is our soul continues to exist for eternity, so then what's the difference whether it's God gives us the same body, a different body? What's the difference? Why is there a concept of maintaining your body? So our rabbis tell us that one of the wonders of the world is the fact that God could put the soul into a body. That's one of the wonders of the world. After we go to the bathroom, so then in our blessing that we make after we go to the bathroom, we say Mafli Allah Sot. One of the things that we say is that we thank God for the wonders of the world. And our rabbis explain, what is that referring to? They say that's referring to the fact that we use our body, but the fact that God could put a soul within the body. And that's something which is a wonder. That's a wonderment. And also, our rabbis also say that there's a struggle between the body and the soul. There's a constant struggle between the two. The body is there for ourselves. It's for pleasure, to give pleasure to the body. It's for selfish reasons that I'm supposed to get pleasure. It's not for altruistic reasons, the concept of the body. And the soul is the exact opposite. The soul is something which is about for a higher purpose. It's there for God. It's there to help out humanity. The soul is something which is the total opposite of what the body is for. The purpose of the body is really for oneself, and the purpose of the soul is really beyond yourself. And so the fact that God could put the soul within the body is a wonderment. And it's something very, very, it's very strange, and it's also very powerful, because the reason why God did this is because God wanted that fight to exist. The language is really a fight, but there's this battle going on between the body and the soul. And God wanted this fight to exist so that the soul could impact the body, and the body could also impact the soul. There's a fight here, but it could also have an impact on each other. And so, because we constantly use the soul through the body, so there's a relationship which exists between the body and the soul. It's not like the very first opinion that we gave when we started was that there's a body and the soul and they're two independent entities. It's not true. The soul could have an impact on the body. The body changes based on what the soul tells the body to do. And also, in the other way around, the body also can impact the soul. If the body, the person who's there for pleasures of the world, for selfish reasons, so then that also impacts the soul. And then there's this conflict between the two, but they also create a certain relationship between the two. And so the nefesh, really, the soul, has that relationship. And it becomes a form, the body then becomes a form of kedusha, it has a status of holiness in the world. There's other things besides for people that we're told to bury. What else are we told to bury?
Torah scrolls.
We bury Torah scrolls. We bury mezuzahs. We bury things of holiness, things that have certain holiness to them. So that is what we bury. And there are those that explain that's exactly the reason why we also bury a person. A person is something, the body became holy through its life. Through its life, the soul has a certain relationship with the body that it impacts the body. And then the body has independent of the soul, maintains a certain level of holiness, a certain level of kedusha, and that itself is deserving of burial. And so I think that's also why the idea of resurrection of the dead is that we're supposed to use that same exact body, because the soul has a certain relationship with that body. It goes so far as the fact that the soul actually does not leave the body until, some say, until after the decay of the body, but others say also until after the actual burial. Until the body is actually buried, even after the person has died, has passed away, the soul is still in this world. Whatever that means, the soul is hovering over the body, which is in fact why we bring the mace, the dead, the deceased, into the funeral home where we have the eulogies. We have the eulogies in front of the body. Why is it in front of the body? Doesn't know what's going on. The body has already passed away, has already deceased. Why do we bring the deceased into the funeral home to hear the eulogies? So our rabbis tell us that the reason for that is because the neshama, the soul, is still there. The soul is still with the body because the soul has a certain relationship with the body. It's hard for the soul to leave. It's lived such a life, such a meaningful life with the body. They're essentially one and the same, and it's difficult for that soul to leave. And so therefore we give the eulogies in front of the soul because it's not for the body per se, but it's really for the soul which is hovering around the body. And that's why we bring that into the funeral home. Our rabbis also tell us that complete forgiveness, kapara, forgiveness for what we have done, that only during our lifetime, that only takes place after the decay of the body. Only after the body has decayed. And that also, that represents the idea of the fact that the soul and the body have a certain relationship, and the soul could only be forgiven after the body, which is its counterpart in terms of the struggle, after that part of the body decays, so then the soul can now maintain a certain level of forgiveness because of that relationship between the body and the soul. But what we get out of all these different examples is the fact that the soul really impacts the body, and also the body impacts the soul. And that's really the third reason why we have burial. And that's also really why we have Tchiyas HaMesim. This is really the purpose of life. We have resurrection of the dead. Many explain that the ultimate purpose of life is to have that resurrection of the dead. It will ultimately come to the soul will be in a certain state without the body for a certain amount of time. But the level of perfection that we can get is after the resurrection of the dead, where the soul then combines back with the body, such that it could be on the highest level together with the body. Because the purpose of life is not just to have a soul, but it's also to impact the body, to impact the physical world. It's to maintain a certain relationship with that world. And so the burial is so essential to maintain that body, to maintain that body for its ultimate purpose, which will come through the resurrection of the dead, so that the two could reunite together. That's really a very powerful idea of burial. And we want to maintain that body. For those who unfortunately have cremation, that whether it's by will or by force, so they're not fortunate to have that same body during the times of the resurrection of the dead, even if they get a different body. But it'll be a different type of life during that time period, because that soul is used to that first body. It's not used to that second body. And so I think that's also the idea of burial. So just to conclude, and also I wanted to show a video. I'll first take questions. If anybody has any questions, let me just sum up. I'll take questions, and then I'll show a video that discusses the Tara process, which I think is not well known in terms of what happens. It's a 5-minute video, but it just discusses what exactly happens to the body, which we respect, prior to the burial. So just to sum up, the three different reasons that we gave as to why we bury is to really, the first reason is to bring it back to its original source, to show how we're not owners of our body. We want to return the body back to the dust of the ground. The second reason is because we want to conceal it. We want to hide it for the future. Something which is very precious to us, we hide. And something which we can't use right now, we hide, but it's for potential for the future. And the third reason is because we wanna keep the body in existence, because the body has a level of holiness. Through living a life with the soul, it maintains a certain level of holiness, and we want that to eventually reunite with the soul to receive ultimate perfection in the times of the resurrection of the dead.
You mentioned that the body and soul are often in conflict with one another. Can you give some examples?
Well, the soul is about living a life beyond the body. It's about being somebody who's altruistic, who's there to help out humanity, to help out God, to serve God. The body is there. The main purpose of the body is for survival, for physical survival. In a situation, you want me to give an example? I have to make an appointment to see my doctor, but there's a crying baby on the street across the street, but I'm going to miss my doctor's appointment. So what should I do? Should I let somebody else deal with the crying baby? Or
maybe that's your conscience.
Well,
some said the goof.
Well, yeah, some the goof, the body does represent that. It's partially the it's a.
No, you want to say a bed? Oh, you want to go to here?
There are many, many different examples that one could give for when one wants to just serve oneself as opposed to serving others beyond oneself. Yeah.
In Israel, I believe they bury the bodies directly in the ground, wrapped in tali or something.
They do.
Directly in the ground.
Yeah. That's the in Yerushalayim they do that, and then it's not in all of Israel. It's in Yerushalayim they do that, in Petach Tikva. Because they take the customs of Yerushalayim. I don't think everywhere they do that.
So I'm saying, is there a reason why to be
in this? It's being closer. It's closer to the ground. It's being closer to the ground. Right. The idea is to be closer to the ground.
It's Yerushalayim or just?
No, I'm not sure why. Why is there a distinction between Yerushalayim and everywhere else?
No, is there any other place where they do that? Or
I don't know.
And they don't. And you hear them use casket.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Howard, is there?
Oh, no, I was just saying there's no law that requires you to be buried in a casket here. If somebody really wanted to be buried without one.
Is that true? Is that true? By American law, you have to be buried in a casket.
Yes.
No, there's no. Actually, the Muslim funerals take place in our own community. Yeah, but they don't require burial in a casket.